Grabbing the trackball for the other computer, moving it around, trying to figure out why my cursor's not moving. Yes, I was dragging the trackball around the desk, trying to figure out why the other computer's mouse wasn't moving. This is Pure Decking, show number 531 for Thursday, August the 10th, 1991. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and yelling at the internet so we can pretend that somebody cares. But, we all kind of know we lost. It's all dead. It's just bots feeding bots at this point. I'm Warps. I've been drinking. And we have a Madman. What's up, Madman?
There's some people among the zombies, I think.
These aren't even zombies,
that's
though.
What my inbox says. And they're interested in meeting me, and they're all attractive women. I don't know how they all got my email address.
I mean, that's the gag of it, is that it's all just... I just realized I'm missing a story. Where is it? Yeah, it's all just bots feeding bots, and oh, there it is. There's the story I'm missing. So I don't know, man. I just and we have an RU.
Well, I'm not really here. I'm currently a bot. You'd like to see more of me, you can see me on my OnlyFans.
Oh, God, no.
Wait a minute, AI has OnlyFans now?
Yes.
No, it does. Third story.
Third story.
AI does have fucking OnlyFans now, Madman.
No, because I know what people are going to want artificially made, and it shouldn't be permitted to exist.
It's exactly what you think it is.
Yep.
Oh, God. I know there's not supposed to be another great flood, but maybe nuclear Armageddon isn't nearly as bad as it was sold to us.
I'm just
at least just a decent EMP pulse to take it all out. You know what I mean?
I'm just waiting for another Tower of Babel situation. So
don't give me hope. Never give me hope.
But it enjoys... It fills me with such joy... To watch you get that inkling of hope, and then realize that I can't. Okay, the joke's gone. I don't.
I lost hope years ago.
For the record, he's talking about his dog. He named Hope. He hasn't been able to.
Yeah, it ran away.
Yeah.
Proving that even a dog doesn't love me. Yeah, and if a dog can't love you, you're some sort of special monster.
Well,
yeah, because you can beat it twice a day, but so long as you feed it and say it's a good boy, the sucker will still love you.
Yeah, well, considering where RU lives, I don't know what chance a Pomeranian really had, so...
It wasn't so much the beatings, it was just the bullshit conversation I used to go on about. I'm sick of it. Conspiracy theories being correct.
So, anyways, so I guess before we get going here, I needed a beater laptop that I wanted to be able to throw in a bag but still had some decent battery, because I've got a couple of other, like, old ThinkPads, and I've got this little Motile machine, and it was like a Walmart thing that was super cheap, but the battery life in all these things is just shit, right? So, it had been suggested to me, oh, look at old MacBook Airs on eBay, and they're like $100. So I got one of them. Of course, it didn't have a drive in it, because, of course, Apple, God forbid, they use an off-the-shelf component. I had to wait about 3 weeks to get the fucking SSD adapter so I could put a regular drive in the thing. But, you know, it's an old MacBook Air. It's like a 4 gig, some Intel chip. Basically, it'll run the software I actually wanted it to run, not even using macOS. I put Linux Mint on it. I was going to put like Arch or something and tune it out, and then I'm like, eh, for what I need, it doesn't really need it. I'd rather just have something that just throw it on and go. But while I was messing with it, I loaded up DOSBox, well, DOSBox X, and then, because it's like, well, this thing isn't going to have the grunt for any regular games, but I copied over some DOSBox stuff. I probably spent 2 hours playing One Must Fall earlier. It's like, shit. I forgot how good this stuff is. This is better than Steam, loading up all these old DOS games.
Yeah, I was playing Battleship last night, the old board game.
Yeah.
On some retro fucking website. I was playing for hours. It was a great old time.
Well, I know you were talking about, you know, getting an old machine out of the garage to load up some of these games. You might look at DOSBox X, see if it'll do some of what you want. I don't know.
No, I whipped at the PS3 this week and replugged all that back in. XP comes out of the garage next week. The only reason I say that is because if I take it out of the garage, it means I've got to clean the garage. I don't really want to do that. So, that's the only thing stopping that.
Well, let's get into this first story here, because it is good proof that
God hates Australia.
There it is.
Certainly does.
So this is from AppleInsider.com. Copyright laws shouldn't apply to AI training, proposes Google. This is literally Google just saying copyright law shouldn't apply to us. We want the government to recognize it. Specifically, your government, are you?
Okay.
Google has told regulators... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, my government's in a shambles right now, so whatever they fucking pass will be atrocious.
Well, you know, when I'm sitting there reading Neuromancer, and it's like, good God, he got it right, even the corporate bullshit. It's just like, well, here we go.
Yep.
Google has told regulators in Australia that its AI systems should be able to train on any data regardless of the copyright holders, or I'm sorry, not regardless, I skipped ahead, unless the copyright owners explicitly opt out. If generative artificial intelligence is to be useful, it needs enormous sources of data to train on, and if you're using that data, you should pay for it, unless you're Google, in which case you think you're an exemption, and you have a record of trying to bully your way out of paying. So literally, Google is saying, unless you specifically, you know, opt out of us stealing your data to train our AI engine, we think it should be legal for us to do so. Yeah, according to The Guardian, Google has presented a case to Australian regulators that it be allowed to do what it wants, and okay, maybe publishers should be able to say no, but that's on the publishers, not Google. Google's submission, seen by The Guardian, calls for Australia to adopt copyright systems, or quote, copyright systems that enable appropriate and fair use of copyrighted content to enable the training of AI models in Australia on a broad and diverse range of data while supporting workable opt-outs for entities that prefer their data not to be trained in using AI systems, unquote. Reportedly, this is similar to arguments Google has presented to Australia before, except that it has added what appears to be a reasonable opt-out. So at first they didn't even want the opt-out. It's just like, we should be able to take everyone's data. I was just like, wow.
I wonder if they're targeting Australia because for a large landmass, it is actually a smaller country.
When, like RU said, their government's not exactly in the greatest of shape, which makes them, which they might think they can...
Makes them vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could get some of this stuff snuck in before, you know...
And to be honest, there aren't too many politicians left in our government that are interested in Australia. Most of our parliament sees himself as global citizens, not as Australians.
But fucking over copyright holders be fucking over copyright holders worldwide.
Yeah, they're not thinking about things like that, madman. I'm telling you right now, they're not. They're too busy with their climate scenarios and their, oh, we're going to buy some submarines. No, we're not going to buy some submarines. We're going to build some submarines. No, we're not going to. How much does that cost? $3 billion just for a, we don't know what we're fucking doing. We give these people land rights to take, but we have to take the rights of the land off these people. So fuck anything to do with private property law. They're fucking with private property. Yeah, dude, they're taking on too much at once. They have no idea what they're doing. So I this Google thing would be on the lowest priority list. They just throw it to the bureaucrats and call it a day.
Well, let me just finish out the article here. However, requiring publishers to explicitly opt out of any AI training on their data means the publishers have to know that their work is being mined. Then, since the regulators are making plans for all AI providers, it also means that it may not be possible to prove whether a company has ceased mining the data or not. More, an AI company could, in theory, delay the process, so by the time it stops mining, it's already mined all the data for its training. according to The Guardian, Google has not specified or specifically said how it believes such a system could work. Separately, Google is one of a consortium of big tech firms in the U.S. that have recently pledged to establish best practices for the AI industry. Sure they will.
Yeah, rightio. Leave that when I see it.
The same company that's saying copyright laws should not apply to us is going to establish best practices for the industry. I believe that. Oh, I totally believe that. I've also been buying this bridge that this guy keeps selling me. So, fuck.
Well, best practices is a term de art, so it doesn't actually mean what the best practice is. It's just what they deem it to be.
Oh, I know that, but... It just means it's going to be extraordinarily self-interested.
Yeah.
And the thing that really irks me about this is that it's literally saying we deserve an unfair playing field. And it's blatant, you know, blatantly saying we deserve an unfair playing field. You know, at least other industries, you know, try to hide it, bury it in regulations, do something so it doesn't look immediately unfair on paper. You know, you have to, like, study it and think about it and, you know, follow the five or six various reference legal documents to put it together that it's an unfair thing. This is just flat out. It's just like, Jesus. So, but really the answer here is, if your data is on the internet, just assume it's being mined by somebody, because of the major email providers, both of them are building AI models. So you think they're not mining every bit of email that goes through Office 365 and Gmail for AI training? Same thing with the chat systems. Same things with the messaging and the file management systems, because, of course, Google Drive and Office 365 SharePoint and OneDrive, do you think they're not mining all this shit to train AI data? And it's not even... It's not that they're doing it. It's that people don't know and that you don't have a choice in the matter. I mean, if you don't want your shit trained for AI data, it's don't put it on the internet. That's your choice, is either put it online where it will be mined for AI data, regardless of your copyright law, regardless of your permissions, regardless of your settings. Because frankly, I have no doubt that these companies will give you a little checkbox that says opt out of AI training, and they'll just ignore it. They'll just do it anyways. It's like those fake buttons in elevators, you know? It's just there to make the person feel like they're accomplishing something where the checkbox does nothing. I guarantee it. Oh, you won't be able to prove that it does nothing. But I'm pretty sure they'll just, you know. And, you know, if they ever get caught on, it's like, well, it turns out the engineering challenge of separating them out on the back end is, you know, blah, 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 you know, technobabble reason. But it's ultimately going to come down to, so we chose the method that let us mine everything anyways. So. And it's really just the lack of choice that bothers me. You know, we've lost. The internet is a big corporate entity now. And if you're doing most things online, it's through some sort of a large provider. You know, what we do here at G15, where I run a frickin' Icecast server and I run a separate website and I don't post this shit on YouTube or any other big provider. I mean, that's it. That's well, one, that's why it's never gotten big. But two, it's, you know, I'm not reliant on them. I can say whatever the hell I want. And at best,
in hindsight, would you want to have gotten big?
Not really.
No, after the fucking high watermark's been reached.
Well, you think about it, right? It's at the same time we've fostered these social media networks, we've also fostered a bunch of people who think that their opinion matters. And, mm-hmm. okay, sure, your opinion matters and you're special and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, just like your mom told you, your ass is unique and nobody else has got an ass just like yours. But at the same time, it means a bunch of these people are entitled to think that you, as a putting something out for content, should conform to what they want, whether that's what you want to do or not. So, you know, do I want some feedback? Sure, I like to know if I'm, you know, what's going on. I don't want a mob of people yelling at me because I used the wrong fucking name or the wrong pronoun or I mispronounced something. It's like, I don't care.
Look at feedback.
I'm picking stories that we can talk about because I'm thinking I might entertain you guys or have something to talk about. I'm not picking them, you know, based on what I think somebody on the internet wants to hear. I'm not picking them for an audience. It's just like, here's the stuff I thought was interesting. Let me see what Madman and RU think. That's it. That's how I'm doing this these days.
I'm only here because it's the only hour of structure I have in a 7-day week.
So, you know, this bullshit of these companies just scraping everything. Well, I mean, if you
God help them if the poor AI that gets trained on fucking IHN.
You know, if they're doing the work to scrub the audio in and you know, turn it into text and then train their AI on it, they deserve what they get.
Yeah. On some of this, I wonder if the copyright even applies. Let's say a New York Times article that's not behind their paywall. They've put that out for public consumption. Shouldn't I be able to read it or have my voice-to-text thing read it? Or, I don't know, use it to brainwash the next Tay? It is...
Well, and, you know,
it's out there on that section of it.
It's a fair question. You know, if you put something out there publicly, you know, you might say, oh, it's my copyright, don't steal my stuff, don't do anything I don't want you to do with it. But realistically, do you have any control about that? I mean, there's very little defense against right-click, save as. You know, I mean, there's some JavaScript that tries, but there's browser add-ons or just pulling up the source code to the web app, and you can always get to the source files, right? So, but at the same time, if you're, you know, going to get that upset about putting it out there, because is training in AI doing more than reading? Because theoretically it is, because the AI is going to reproduce something based off your work, but then is it transformative enough to not be running afoul of copyright? I honestly don't know the answer to that stuff. It's not been settled. And the fact that these are, you know, machine learning models that are just guessing the next word or the next pixel in the case of images, I mean, it's really hard to prove that it's, you know, copying somebody's text or regurgitating a chunk of somebody's text, because that's not exactly how it works. And you can't even point to a log where it said, well, here's the source text it got this from, unless it's something specifically designed to do that, like the one that you could load on your machine to search your hard drive so you could interrogate it about your own files. And then you could have it specifically say, yeah, this is the file I pulled that from. But it was set up to do that. Like, that's not, you know, ask ChatGPT where it's getting its information from. You're not going to get any kind of a useful answer. It's not going to say this link, and this link. So, you know, the ownership of what these machines generate is a real question. And, you know, it came up before with the monkey that snapped the selfie, right? You know, several years ago now, where at one point I think it was said, you know, that copyright law only applies to things that humans generate. So if human hands didn't make it, well, human mind, I guess, might be a better way to put it. You know, if a human mind didn't make it, then it theoretically shouldn't have copyright, which raises some interesting questions about, well, say, computer programs, because I didn't write the binary for a program. I wrote source code that was compiled. You know, you get real stupid with that real quick. So I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I'm not sure that there is one yet. Oh, there will be.
Go ahead. I think if it's behind a paywall, you have a copyright claim because you're selling a subscription, and your subscription that you're selling isn't to train an AI. It's you're selling this to a person to read for their consumption or for whatever. But it's not to train their AI bot. But if it's out there, just public, not behind a paywall, you're giving this away for anyone to use in hopes of earning ad revenue, usually. So, chatbots clicked on your page, get your 3 cents from Google. The chatbot read its ad.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. So,
I mean, I'll throw this one out. Shouldn't we want the best, most well-trained AI ever?
We would want the best, most well-trained, but that comes up to the argument on what that is. Because...
Can you just give it access to everything?
No.
Well, here's
That's not how you come up with the best, most well-trained thing.
But here's the thing. It's not going to be the best, most well-trained AI for everyone to use. It's going to be the best, most trained AI that Google owns, or Microsoft owns, or OpenAI owns. These things aren't going to be public domain or public property. They're going to be owned by companies.
No, they're going to be used against you, the Joe public.
So
manipulate, to extort, get you scared.
So why?
You know what it's going to be used for.
Why would I want to give Google my information for free so that they can make a better product that they're only going to use to try to further manipulate me?
Because they're going to get there in the end. You might as well just do it now. Get the shit out of the road with. See what we're going to deal with after that.
That's somewhat different.
You know, you're going to lose. You can't fight Google.
Why not? You couldn't fight Standard Oil. Does anyone deal with Standard Oil anymore?
Yeah, but the government did that.
Yeah. They figured there was money to be shaken down somewhere else. But...
Well, let's go into this next one because it flows right in. It's from businessinsider.com. Zoom says it won't use your calls to train AI without your consent after its terms of service sparked backlash and prompted people to talk about ditching the service. So I don't need to read the whole thing. Short version. A couple of days ago, Zoom put out a change to their terms of service that said they could use your voice, video, and text data to train AIs. But since Zoom isn't doing it, this means they were going to sell the information to somebody who does. And there was a, you know, big Twitter backlash and blow up. And apparently some people were calling Zoom and canceling and switching over to other services. And so Zoom has backed off saying, okay, we're not going to do that without your consent.
We won't do it as a company, but we'll just on-sell it to somebody else.
No, it says they won't do it without your consent. You remember the little checkbox I was talking about?
Yeah, but it doesn't mean shit. You're still going through their services.
It does mean breach of contract on their corporate side, which is, I think, what they were worried about losing. If we're using Zoom for a corporate meeting, you know that there's a lot of stuff that corporation doesn't want filtered into anything at all.
Oh, shit. I mean, with Windows 10 and 11, you know, where we work, Madman, we had to do a bunch of stuff because the default settings of Cortana basically are sending everything you type to Microsoft. So it can, you know, set up its search, and I guess they're probably feeding that into AI training too. But yeah, you've really got to be sure all that shit's turned off and stays off, because, you know, if you're an institution where you've got regulatory controls over losing control of this kind of stuff, and I've got a story about that too, you really don't want your operating system sending everything you type off so Microsoft can mine it for information if you're dealing with, you know, customer data, because especially if you have a freaking regulatory responsibility not to distribute that stuff. So
copyright and training things, that's going to run afoul of HIPAA if anything's running in a hospital.
That's why Google's trying to get this exemption now. Is because once people think about this for a little bit, it's like, wait a minute, you want to do what? once it gets known how much data these companies are scraping to train their AIs, and that seems to be hitting a nerve for a lot of people, I think you're going to see some stuff come up. The problem is, I'm afraid what we're going to see is another Digital Millennium Copyright Act when it comes to using data to train AI, which means it's going to be useless and wrong. But
it's going to do fuck all.
But I think that's going to be the next, is we're going to start seeing laws from different countries trying to get a handle on this, and they're not going to do what people want. So,
yeah, the whole declaring that you own your data will be the first step.
How long have people in our fucking circles been talking about a digital human rights charter? About as long as we've been talking about regulations for pen testing.
Well, I think you were bringing that up, jeez, first couple of years of IHN.
You could see where it was going, man.
Hey. Well, speaking of where it's going, this is a story you sent me, are you? This just at this point, we're putting it in the rotation just to hurt Madman personally and possibly physically.
No, I think we're shaking his foundations and how much he's put into OnlyFans.
So Madman, if we're going to make you physically ill here, just let us know. We're not going to stop. We want to know.
For our amusement.
So Ari, you sent me this. It's from supercarblondie.com. This AI influencer charges over $10,000 per Instagram post and has an eight-figure net worth. And if you look at these photos on here, it's obvious it's a cartoon, but good God.
Oh, dude, most of these articles that were written early is when AI just couldn't get the hands correct and it was easy to spot. Now, a lot of this stuff, you can't pick it. It's really hard to pick if you haven't been on the edge of AI.
With that video you sent me, I mean, some of the videos it was that he used as an example, it's like, it's really hard to tell.
Mm-hmm. And this story is like a year old. When this started? So this has been going on for over a year and a bit now.
Yep. This influencer charges more than $10,000 per Instagram post and has an eight-figure net worth. Okay, who the fuck are you charging for Instagram posts? How does that work?
Say if some sports bra company or something like that.
They
send it to you. For the sponsors. They give you 10 grand, you take one photo. Yeah. Okay.
So she goes by Little Mikila online and has 3.6 million followers on TikTok and another 2.7 million on Instagram. It all sounds pretty straightforward until you realize she's not human. These pictures look like a video game character. Mikila is the result of some very clever AI and a person sitting behind a computer coding her. She's one of the growing list of virtual influencers making millions through social media deals with some of the world's biggest brands, including Dior, Chanel, and Alexander McQueen. Some of these virtual influencers are making more than $8,000 per post, contributing to a multi-million dollar net worths. Samsung hired the 19-year-old AI influencer to be one of its faces for its Team Galaxy campaign in 2019. This deal alone reportedly net more than $10 million. And before that, the teen starred in a Calvin Klein ad alongside real model Bella Hadid. Hadid? H-A-D-I-D. I'm saying that wrong. Little Makila was created by American AI company Brood. She's just one of a growing list of AI influencers, including Imu, Shadu, and Mia Sophia, who went viral last week. Mia Sophia and Little Makila look so real that they're duping thousands of their followers. You know, so they read out some of the posts people are making on these things, which is standard internet cringe. It's like, oh, look, a female. There's very good reason.
They show boob and vagine.
Yeah. And there's a very good reason companies are turning away from real influencers towards virtual ones. The founder of influencer marketing firm IZEA, Ted Murphy, said they would eventually take over the advertising landscape. Quote, they can be in multiple places at once, speak any language, perform incredible feats, and even undergo a total redesign at will, unquote, he told The Sun. This, quote, this offers boundless creative potential, unquote. So this article, you know, is just kind of an example of it. But the point was, a lot of people don't seem to know on their socials that these are cartoons. You know, they think they're real people, and they're trying to interact with them. Because I know there was the whole VTuber thing where you had somebody puppeting an anime avatar, but that was very clearly, you know, an avatar. And, yeah, sure, there's somebody behind driving it with some kind of a mocap thing. But these aren't even that. These are basically Stable Diffusion, somebody with a prompt. And there was another article linked off this, but I didn't want to get into it, where you had actual Instagram models complaining that it wasn't fair that, you know, some fat guy could make a prompt and get these photos and get more than, you know, an actual person who has to, you know, keep themselves in shape, do makeup, you know, get the outfits and stage, do all the photography and the photo editing.
Get the lighting correct, yeah, makeup done. Like, it's going to take a whole, this is an event to do a fucking photo shoot for something when you, if you want to do it correctly. Where you just make your coffee, sit down at your machine, prompt your AI fucking waifu to go make you $1 million. Okay? No wonder they're getting pissed.
Well, the creepy thing for me is, like, you know, scrolling through it where they've got the two photos next to each other of the blonde. It's like, it's not like the same person. Like, it's the same face in the picture. Like, the face looks like it's lifted from one photo and put on the other. You can't see the Photoshop, obviously, because it's like a Stable Diffusion thing. But, I mean, it's not like the same two photos of the same person. It's like two photos where both of them have the exact same face on it. It's creepy.
But as I said, AI is getting a lot better, and those facial expressions are changing. Hands are getting good. I mean, it's fooling real people, and I think the funniest part about it is the bots are starting to interact with the AI. So essentially, there are no humans there anymore. Once again, proving the internet is dead.
Dead internet theory wasn't wrong. It was just early. So.
Yo. But imagine, dude, you're pumping fucking your hard-earned, you know, waging bucks into this fucking OnlyFans slot to find out that it's a fucking cartoon. I mean, you're barely fucking living as it is paying an OnlyFans slot money. You're going to fucking hang yourself after that. Okay?
Well, this wasn't nearly as dark as I thought it was going to be.
Go on, man. Makes dark.
Wait till next week. I've got a better one for you, man. Man, I've been looking into AI girlfriends.
Oh, I figured they'd be the leader in most internet industries is porn. So I was thinking this would be like an AI model of some underage chick being raped and murdered at the same time for some other dude to jack off to.
No, I don't go to that area of the internet, Madman, so I can't give you a report on that.
Well, the thing is, though, I can absolutely understand why companies are going to migrate to using these virtual actors for...
They don't have to pay anyone.
Well, they pay whoever does the, you know, holds the AI model for it, basically. But, you know, what they're paying them is probably not the same as what they have to pay, you know, if they were keeping somebody real on retainer, right? So,
dude, if I was making these AIs, I'd just copy it and go, hey, they're twins. We charge twice the amount for twins.
But
oh, no, we got quintuplets.
But you don't have to worry about You don't have to worry about the AI model going off book or off script or
saying something fucking stupid on their Instagram to get them fucking canned.
Or what was the rapper who just said something and then their publishers took over their Twitter and apologized and they made another video and said, that wasn't me, that was the publicist. And something to do with, I forget who the rapper
was. Well, that just shows you how controlled these people are. They very rarely get to have their own thoughts. They're just a brand in a market.
Well, they don't have to worry about that with the AI ones, do they?
Exactly.
Unless somebody comes in and steals the AI model.
The dude was lying. A publicist does not put anything out until after they've ran it past you.
Unless your publicist is some sort of egomaniac, and thinks they know better than you.
Unless they're the level of retarded that guy would have to be is so high, I doubt they have anyone that can afford to pay what that guy was paying.
Well, if that publicist really did that, they better be fired. But
it's not only fired. The guy has a multi-million dollar lawsuit. Like everything that publicist has, the dude now owns. So no publicist. That's the reason, at least in the States, you signed off on it. You might not have known what you were signing off on. I will concede that much. But you were debriefed and you signed that it was okay for that to go out. Just because the publicist isn't going to be sued because you lost income.
I think the funny part about all this is the AI girlfriends is dudes are giving them money and they don't realize that it's AI.
And that's where I was thinking the whole sex angle going on, because I think as far as influencers, I believe this could crash influencers. I think you'll go back only listening to people that got famous for a reason.
Oh, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think you hit the money, the nail right on the head there, man. I think influencing's already dead. It just hasn't realized it yet.
It just means pictures of pretty people becomes a commodity. Just something you can have. Dude,
it's oversaturated.
Oversaturated, I always thought it was stupid anyway. Why should I care about what someone thinks when they did nothing for their opinion to matter?
No, it does, but that you and me are normal, madman. Within the tolerance of normal you can get, let's just say that. I don't want to start a fight with anyone.
Normal is boring. Sane might be a word.
The few times I've ever listened to someone about cars, it was like, okay, this was a professional NASCAR driver who spent his entire life in the pits either driving or working on cars. Say what you want about Dale Earnhardt or Dale Earnhardt Jr., the guys knew driving and the guys knew cars. So if they came out and said something was a piece of shit, there was weight behind their words.
Yeah.
Some Instagram model, why do I give a fuck what they say about politics, makeup, or anything? It's some chick or some dude on the internet that did nothing to get famous. The Kardashians are a wonderful example of that. Who gives a fuck what any of them think? Or who should give a fuck on what any of them think? They did nothing to become famous.
At the end of the day, it's just an opinion. Or you're selling something.
Opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one.
Yeah, but they shouldn't all be weighted the same.
Influences are just a nicer word than prostitute. No takers on that one?
I have no comment. I mean, I don't think you're wrong. Or if you're wrong, I can't figure out how. I mean, there's
a lot of that lately. Oh my God, you can't say that, but you're not wrong. I'm trying to figure out why you're not wrong. Why am I angry about this? Why do a lot of people getting confused like that these days? They get really pissed off at what you say. And then if they think about it, they're like, why am I angry about that?
I'm not pissed off. I'm not angry. I'm just like, I don't have any point of contention with what you just
exactly.
said. So,
yeah. Oh, that was a fun one.
All right.
Point that out. So anybody out there, you might want to double check that your OnlyFans has a heartbeat before you give it any more money.
I don't know why you would give money to OnlyFans.
No, madman. This is the world we live in. We must accept it.
Are they at least getting special porn?
I don't know how any of it works. What, you know, my stance on pornography, but from what I understand, there's for people to get addicted, there's enough of it out there for free.
I just imagine that there are probably whole websites out there dedicated to scraping and taking the pay-for content and posting it up anyways.
That's what I'm worrying. Is there like, see, this is where we need Big Brother, our specialist in the industry. He'd know where the websites are for this sort of stuff.
He'd have statistical analysis of which ones have
exactly
the most.
Breakdown of, you know, who's got the best views, average age, height, hair color. Yeah, I don't know, man. I just don't understand why you'd pay for pornography. I don't understand if you pay for like a real flesh woman to come to your house and have sex with you, but I don't understand paying for pictures. Makes as much sense as going to a strip club and throwing money on stage.
Yeah, but then you got to clean up the house and, you know.
Fuck no.
That's why you're paying.
You're
paying for them not to care.
Yeah. She knows what she's there. She's a commodity. She's getting jizzed in and then leaving.
You got to look at how dead she is inside through the eyes. I mean.
Oh, but that's where half the hard-on comes from. I'm killing a bit of that soul.
You do not want a hooker with self-confidence, dude. It just takes the fun out of it.
Oh, wait a minute. Unless you get to be the first one to break her. Oh, no, this is getting too dark. We're going to get hate speech. I'm going to burn in hell.
Right with you, man.
Anyway, next story.
I was only half kidding on that, guys.
You guys want to take a hard left into a completely different topic?
Yeah, let's go to the next story.
All right, this one's from
G-Hacks. Outing yourselves out with our knowledge here.
This one's from ghacks.net. Computer users who operate devices with Intel graphics processing units may soon have telemetry collected by the driver, reported to Intel and potentially shared with Intel partners. To make matters even less user-friendly, installation of the latest graphic driver may install the telemetry collecting component automatically. In other words, as soon as the driver is installed or updated, telemetry stats start to be collected on the device. Colleagues over at Tech Power Up were the first to report the addition of telemetry. While they report that the telemetry component was installed automatically, which means turned on after the installation of the driver, Intel contacted them saying the telemetry component should be opt-in. Where? They've got a screenshot here showing that it's just not a choice. It is unclear who is right at this point, but users who run devices with Intel graphics cards, hint, that's most of them, like every business laptop, might want to select custom during install to make sure the responsible component is disabled. I guess they call it Intel Computing Improvement Program.
Why does my graphic card need to know when I'm buying toilet paper or comic books?
So that Intel can collect that data and sell it, obviously.
But how's that going to make any of my video games run better?
Oh, it's not. In fact, it's going to make your computer run slightly worse because it's one more process running in the background.
So I'm going to get fewer frame rates for this device that I bought entirely to make my video games better.
Yes, you're going to get worse performance so that Intel can make more money.
Just shut your mouth and get in the pod, madman.
But I want Baldur's Gate to look really, really pretty when I play it. That's why I would get a new graphics card for the pretty.
Not
for them to...
Linux.
Intel uses the euphemistic term Computing Improvement Program for its telemetry collection service. A dedicated webpage on Intel's website lists the data that Intel collects if a device participates in the program. The list is long and includes, among other information, the computer system information, including device manufacturer, CPU, memory and display configuration, version of the operating system, software versions, region and language settings, information about other devices in the computing environment. It's scanning your network! The categories of websites visited. The categories of websites visited. It's monitoring your browser. How the computer is used. Software usage, frequency and duration of application usage. Feature usage, i.e. how much RAM is used. Data collected by Intel is linked to a randomly generated unique identifier stored on the user's device. Because nobody's ever managed to reverse data anonymization, Intel claims that it does not collect personal data by default, including names, email addresses, IP addresses, MAC addresses, and URLs of visited websites. Intel may share the data with Intel partners. These partners are, quote, required to keep this information confidential and limit usage in accordance with your consent, unquote, according to Intel. Considering all this stuff is behind a single checkbox, your consent is pretty fucking vague. Intel users who want to remove the computing improvement program from their device may do so in the following way. Go to Start, Control Panel, launch it, go to Uninstall Program, locate Intel Computing Improvement Program on the list, select it, uninstall. Okay, so yeah. The telemetry component has been added to the beta version of Intel's GPU driver since 101.4578. NVIDIA and AMD are also collecting telemetry. NVIDIA installs the data gathering software automatically alongside the GeForce software. Apps like NV Updater, NV Slimmer, and NV Clean Install provide options to remove unwanted components. I think we're going to be looking at that NV Clean install. Intel users who run devices with Intel graphics card should check the custom installation option and make sure the telemetry doesn't get installed if you don't want it. Yeah. I mean, fuck you. It's like literally just, we're just, I mean, everyone is just doing this. I don't know when this became an accepted practice to just, oh, well, you run a bit of our software. That means we get to know everything about you. Here, bend over so we can stick a probe up there.
AMD make graphics cards? Yes. They're not evil, are they?
No, they are.
They will be.
I don't think they're evil.
They all are. They're all collecting telemetry. Every single damn one of them. You're supposedly able to opt out. But, like you said, I don't...
Every update, it fucking reinstalls. Eventually, people just get sick of doing this shit, and they live with it.
Well, I mean, that's kind of how Windows has been going lately.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I'm getting pretty fucking sick of it.
The thing is, I've got stuff that I haven't found equivalents for in Linux. I want to move to Linux, but I'm not sure that this laptop would play nice on it, for one. Like I said, I've tried it a couple of times and didn't get very far. And two, I haven't found a good CAD software for doing the 3D printing. Actually, quite a bit of the software for 3D printing is like Windows, or some have Mac versions. But like I said, the more I use Mac OS, the more I figure out I don't really like it. So I think I'm going to end up with multiple machines and just only use the Windows one for stuff that has to be Windows and nothing else, and just treat it kind of like I treat the Mac. You know, whatever I put in there, I know is getting collected and monitored and everything else, and I just treat it like that. I just know that that's what it is. So,
you know, I'm looking at it this way. I'm thinking about just having a purpose-built machine for the net.
Yeah.
And one that's air-gapped, and what I do for everything else on.
That's kind of where I'm at. The one that connects to the internet runs Linux. Everything else is whatever it needs to be, and we just monitor the hell out of it.
And if I need anything from the internet, then I'll just fucking plug in a thumb drive, copy it, take it over to the other machine, and do it that way.
I do it in a way that the software is really going to be confused by zip disks.
Fuck them with old technology, you reckon?
Well, I just remember, this was years ago now, whenever I used to get the calls from the fake Microsoft people, I was...
Still do.
Yeah, I haven't gotten one of them in a long time. Well, I do get them, but they're automated. They're not a person.
Hello, this is Jeff from Microsoft. You have a virus on your computer.
Well, when I got that call, my response was, really? Which one? I've got like 30 computers in the house right now. And the guy goes, oh, the computer you're working on right now. I said, the computer I'm sitting in front of right now. Yes, sir. The computer that I'm plugged in and playing Pac-Man on. Yes, sir. The Commodore 64 has a Windows virus. I actually had a Commodore 64 up. I had gotten a C64 1541 online emulator. It was a little card that went in the user port and connected to the internet. So the network card for the Commodore had more processing power than the Commodore. But I had a Commodore 64 on the internet and was screwing around with it and playing Pac-Man off a D64 file that I had loaded through this online 1541 emulator, which is convoluted as hell, but it was kind of fun. And then, you know, in the middle of it, I get this guy calling me from pretending to be Microsoft, saying that the computer I was using right then had a Windows virus. I said to the guy, "That's awesome. I want to meet the person who wrote a Windows virus that runs on a, fucking 1541 that's a disk drive. Runs on a Commodore, and I've just totally blanked on the CPU of a Commodore. I should know that. 8502. Does that sound right?"
Yeah, don't ask me, man. Before my time.
No, that's not it. 6502. I think it's 6502. I think the 85 was a later revision. So, yeah, 6502 processor. If somebody wrote a Microsoft virus that runs on that, fuck, I want to meet that person and shake their hand. They sound like a genius. The guy then went into his spiel because he didn't know what a Commodore was and didn't understand what I was saying, I don't think. Because I said, "That's fucking awesome. I want to meet the person who wrote that virus. That's amazing." And the guy said, "Yes, so you need to give me remote control of that computer." I said, "It's a Commodore." "Excuse me?"
They don't know shit.
I know he didn't know what it was. That was what made it funny. I'm like, it's a Commodore. You need to download AnyDesk onto it. AnyDesk won't run. This thing has 64 kilobytes of RAM. "Oh, no, your machine does not have 64 kilobytes of RAM. It has to have more than that." "No, it's a Commodore."
"No, I don't. It's a Commodore 64. I mean, they built this and said, "Who's ever going to need more than 64
kilobytes of RAM?" He goes, "Is it not running Windows?" I said, "No. It's running Pac-Man right now. It's a Commodore." And he hung up on me. I was just having fun fucking with the guy at that point. Because I don't think he knew what it was. So... anyways, yeah, you don't get to mess with these guys as much anymore because it's all recordings and automated calls, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, you basically got to watch out for telemetry, even the damn drivers at this point. So I mean, it used to be you only had to worry about trusting the software, you know, the shady software that you downloaded and make sure it didn't, you know, like toolbars and shit, right?
Yep.
Now it's the fucking drivers are doing this stuff, and it's not some shady third-party internet advertiser loading this shit up. It's the damn hardware makers. I mean, this is ridiculous. The number of companies trying to collect telemetry off your machine is just, it's ridiculous. It's like every time you sit down at the machine, you've got 20 companies trying to monitor everything you do. So... anyways, next article is from Reuters. China to require all apps to share business details in new oversight push. Surprising no one. It's from Reuters. China will require all mobile apps providers in the country to file business details with the government, its information ministry said, marking Beijing's latest effort to keep the industry on a tight leash. The Ministry of Information and Information Technology said late on Tuesday that apps without proper filings will be punished after the grace period that will end in March of next year, a move that experts say would potentially restrict the number of apps and hit small developers hard. Yu Yunting, a lawyer with the Shanghai-based Debund Law Offices, said the order is effectively requiring approvals from the ministry. The new rule is primarily aimed at combating online fraud, but will impact all apps in China, he said. Rich Bishop, co-founder of the app publishing firm App in China, said the new rule is also likely to affect foreign-based developers, which have been able to publish their apps easily through Apple's App Store without showing any documentation to the Chinese government. Bishop said that in order to comply with the new rules, app developers must now either have a company in China or work with a local publisher. Apple did not immediately reply to a request for comment. The iPhone maker pulled pulled 100 artificial intelligence apps from its app store last week to comply with regulations after China introduced a new licensing regime for generative AI apps for the country. The ministry's notice also said, wait, did they pull them from everybody or just the store in China?
I don't know.
It's not clear. That's frustrating if Apple's going to censor shit here based on what China wants. That's actually quite concerning. The ministry notice also said entities, quote, engage in internet information services through apps such in such fields as news, publishing, education, film, television, and religion should also submit relevant documents, unquote. If you submit documents to the Chinese government saying you're doing religion, wouldn't that just get you shot?
Supposedly, no. Probably, yes. They've taken down pictures of Jesus in Catholic Church and replaced them with pictures of Mao. But they're still technically churches in China. So yeah, they supposedly have practice of religion.
Lovely. The requirement could also affect the availability of popular social media apps such as X, Facebook, and Instagram. Use of such apps are not allowed in China, but they can still be downloaded from the app stores, enabling Chinese to use them when traveling overseas. China already requires mobile games to obtain licenses before they launch in the country, and it has purged tens of thousands of unlicensed games from various app stores in 2020. Tencent's WeChat, China's most popular online social platform, said on Wednesday that many apps that can be opened within WeChat, must also follow the new rules. The company said that new apps must complete the filing before launch starting from September, while existing mini apps have till the end of March. So yeah, that's.
I guess it actually says what they're needing to file and what information China wants.
Well, they're wanting to know who you are, what your business is, and what you're doing, because the party might want to put somebody else in charge of your app. I mean, that's what they do whenever they have a successful business. I mean, they usually switch out who's in charge of it with somebody from the party just to ensure that they toe the line.
You know, it's also thinking if they're trying to regulate business models or do some type of age consent, this may be the actual only way of doing it. Let's say they're wanting to crack down, I don't know, on gambling and loot boxes and video games for minors.
Well, they're trying to put in a online curfew where, you know, kids can only play games like an hour a week or something like that. So it might have something to do with that, too.
I mean, give it 10 years and see where we are.
Yeah.
Just because it's, you know, vague on what they're asking for, I'd say this is mostly crap. But to truly say they're being evil, I would need to know what they're actually asking companies for. So I'm just going to say they're probably being evil. Because it's China. But I don't know for certain that they're being evil with this.
Well, it says... go back to the story here. What did they have to do? It said apps without proper filings. Mobile app providers in the country to file business details with the government. That's all it says is business details.
Yeah. And business details could be like, okay, in this first-person shooter aimed at teens, there's a gambling and loot box system. Some people are opposed to that as far as money-making. And I know governments were attempting to regulate those. And the only way to regulate it is to know if it's there. But I'm also thinking the same thing you were thinking about. China usually just wants to get people on the boards of these companies to shake them down for money.
Well, so not only that, they want to make
that
sure
could also be it.
They have a quick way to censor anything that they don't like. It's It's like, what? People aren't paying their mortgages because they're never actually getting their houses. We can't allow that information to get out.
You see some of the footage of them putting up the barriers so you can't see the floodwaters?
No, but that sounds exactly like something they would do.
I'll get you the video of it.
Oh, God. All right, let's do the last story here. I just saw the clock, so let's blaze through this. It's from The Verge. Several U.S. financial firms, including multiple Wells Fargo companies, will pay a combined $549 million in fines after admitting they couldn't produce discussions about company business from smartphone messaging apps used by their employees, quote, including those at senior levels, unquote. Both the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission fined banks for being unable to produce discussions going back to at least 2019. The regulators say employees use their personal devices to discuss official company business via apps like iMessage, WhatsApp, or Signal, and that those, quote, off-channel communications, unquote, weren't, quote, maintained or preserved, unquote. How do they know that? How do they know that people are having these conversations and not preserving them if they have no record of them?
Somebody had to have admitted so-and-so texted me this at this time.
Must have. Not keeping records of those conversations violates the 1934 Securities Exchange Act record-keeping rules, as well as similar rules from the Investment Advisors Act of 1940, according to the SEC. The CFTC maintains its own record-keeping requirements, which it says were violated. The biggest chunk of the fines go to the Wells Fargo companies, which together will pay almost half of the SEC penalties at $125 million, along with another $75 million settlement with the CFTC. Quote, here are three takeaways for those firms that haven't for those firms who haven't yet done so, self-report, cooperate, and remediate, unquote, said the SEC Enforcement Director Gruber S. Grewal. Quote, if you adopt that playbook, you'll have a better outcome than if you wait for us to come calling, unquote. Self-report. Please narc on yourselves so that we don't have to investigate. here's the full list of banks and their settlements with the SEC. Wells Fargo Securities, together with Wells Fargo Clearing, LLC, Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network, agreed to pay $125 million. BNP Paribas Securities and SG American I'm not going to read this whole list. Wells Fargo was the only name on here I recognized. So. Oh, and the Bank of Montreal. But, yeah, they're literally saying, oh, you were doing company business on encrypted apps and didn't keep a record of it, so we're finding your ass.
Arguments for the company to start springing for cell phones for anyone that it wants to talk to, or don't fucking bother me at home with business questions.
Well, we actually have corporate rules. It's like you have Teams. You can put Teams on your phone. Do business through Teams. Because that's that meets all the requirements. They've got it set up to the whole record keeping worm, whatever the hell it was called. But do I know that everyone's doing that? I have no clue. I would imagine that people text and stuff outside of Teams for anything they don't want on the record, but I don't know that. Because if I knew that, that would be an SEC violation. So I can't know that, but I might reasonably suspect that occasionally somebody might text instead of Teams. But the policy is everything business related goes through Teams, just exactly for this kind of thing. But I mean, shit, I want to know, the question I have is, how do they know people were doing it? Because surely you don't have people dumb enough to say that, oh, yeah, we were talking about that on text messages. Well, where are those text messages? Oh, that was on my old phone that got smashed by a hammer.
Don't worry, you got bleach a bit before that.
Yeah. Oh, what's Psychro saying here? Using personal email is a good way to get all of your tech confiscated by the compliance team. Yes, it is. In fact, my company is part of the employee agreements that you sign. You say if we ask for any of your technology that you're willing to let forensics have it. So Yeah, they have something on there. About collecting hardware. In fact, we've told people in the help desk who were using personal devices for stuff because they were having a hard time with the corporate network. It's like, don't do it. Do not use a personal device. Because the moment you say you are, that personal device becomes subject to a bunch of policies. And you don't want that. Believe me, you do not want that. Because they're going to collect it. You know, they're going to load all kinds of stuff on your laptop. They don't want to have to manage it. Believe me. Nobody wants to deal with that. So.
I don't need to know what porn you look at, I swear.
Yeah, really.
But if you say you're using this, I'm going to know what porn you're looking at.
And really, nobody needs to see that. Believe me, nobody needs to see that. Everyone at the data collection office is already pretty disgusted with you. That's why you keep getting the side eye from them. So. It's like, we're going to ask you once again to stop confusing Teams with with your personal photo library. Anyways. I don't know. You guys have any thoughts on that?
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just...
Go ahead.
I was going with, I'm with you on how the hell did they know unless somebody narked? And I think that's what it was.
It had to
be.
They were
trying to solve a problem, and it's like, well, where did this come from? Well, so-and-so texted it to me. Oh, you just opened up a whole new can of worms, sir.
Yep.
Whole new can of worms.
All right. What I have for tonight in Digital Dojo is a YouTube video, actually. It's a talk from the NDC conference, specifically about email. The guy's name is Dylan Beatty. He gives a really good talk about the basics of email, how SMTP has to be backwards compatible to stuff from the 70s, basically, because email hasn't changed since then. You know, it's a really good presentation about the basics of email, how it works, how there's a handful of providers. He also goes through and sets up, like, you know, an account with several email providers and tests the services to see what they'll let them do, especially with regard to, like, goofy email names and telnetting into them and all that other really fun stuff. So it's a good talk. It's, kind of an explanation of why email is the way it is. So I enjoyed listening to that earlier today. So anyways... that's all I got for tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure decking every Thursday, unless I'm traveling or sick or forgot. Let's see. The radio site. For the time being, you can still send me stuff on Reddit. I haven't found a good replacement yet. I was looking at some other systems and then got distracted and, you know, somebody jingled the keys and I just haven't come back to trying to find a replacement for messaging. Madman, closing thoughts.
If you wanted to know when email was invented, wouldn't you just ask Al Gore? Didn't he invent it shortly after the internet?
Well, define email, because in the early days, email was simply a program that wrote into another user's profile for messages because it wasn't a networked system. It was just a big Unix system that several users shared. Are you talking about BBS messages for email? Because those were not formatted like a modern internet email. Those were just posts on boards, but BBSs would often call each other up in, you know, early hours of the morning and sync them up. So you could sometimes get, you know, messages a few days later, and it was kind of like email. If you mean the modern incarnation of email, he actually talks about it. He's got some names and dates in there, people who made specific components of it. So
I was just making a joke on what Psychro said.
Yeah, I know,
but
you
yes.
were, which is why I was over explaining it. Are you closing thoughts?
If you're looking for a movie this weekend, The Sadness. It's a pretty hardcore horror film, so I'd recommend it. South Korean, good film. First date material if you're a brave man. And if you really want to get infuriated and be pissed off, you got a new series called Evacuation. It's essentially the air evac of Kandahar and all the fuck-ups that went with that. Really fucking hard to watch, though. I mean, probably don't do sadness and then do that. Like, it's going to be a really bummer of a fucking weekend. But, yeah, two ones to check out this week. That's it for me.
All right.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed.
I'll pass it out.
Sounds good. Nose down and call tonight.